Today we want to think on the subject of believers have hope. There are certain things that should characterize a believer. And in the first part of Colossians, it speaks of faith, love, and hope. And today we want to think of the subject of hope. Believers have hope. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, we read, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Now unsaved people, unbelievers, are without hope because they are without God, not knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, we read this, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise." And now notice, "having no hope and without God in the world." That's the condition each of us are born in. Now, first of all, we want to think of hope defined. In the Bible, hope does not mean like, "I hope so," or "we're really not sure," but our hope in Christ is as definite and assured as our faith in Christ. Because Christ is in us, we have hope. We have the hope of glory. The last part of Colossians 1, verse 27 says this, "With Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now the false teachers were trying to make these believers unsettled and move them away from the hope of the gospel so that they didn't have this hope. In verse 23, the first part we read, "And Paul said to them, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard." Secondly, we want to think of hope assured. But now Paul made it clear in verse 5 that this hope was laid up for believers in heaven. And the little phrase "laid up" means to be reserved or to be set aside for someone. Now that was used to refer to money many times, that was laid up or hidden. And the tense of this verb indicates that this hope has once and for all been reserved so that nothing can take it from us. Not only has this hope, our glorious inheritance in glory, heaven, been reserved for us, but we are being kept by God's power so that we can be sure of enjoying heaven one day. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away." Now notice, "reserved in heaven for you." Then it speaks of the believers who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, we are being guarded for glory, and the one guarding us is Almighty God Himself. And so, not only do we have hope, but we are being kept so that we will experience that hope one day. And then thirdly, hope contributes. What is the relationship between faith, hope, and love? We see all three of these mentioned in Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5. Certainly, the more we love someone, the more we will trust them. We do not trust a casual acquaintance to the same degree that we trust a confidential friend. As we come to know the Lord better, we trust Him more and we love Him more. Love and faith go together, but hope also has a valuable contribution to make. Wherever there is a relationship of faith and love, there will be a growing hope. When a man and woman fall in love with each other and learn to trust each other in that love, their future always becomes brighter. In fact, Paul taught that hope is a motivating power for love and for faith. Turning back to Colossians 1, verses 4 and 5, we read, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Another translation puts it this way, which better expresses the thought that God wanted us to grasp. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. The blessed hope of seeing Jesus Christ and going to heaven to be with Him is a powerful force in the Christian's life. When we realize the joy we shall have in heaven, it makes us love Him more. The fact that we know we shall be with Him in glory encourages us to trust Him more. Even the problems and trials here on earth cannot move us away from the hope that we have in Christ. The prospect of a future happiness and joy has a way of making people love one another more. Let's think of an example. Have you ever watched children just before Christmas or just before going on a family vacation? Excuse me. Their attitudes and behavior changes, and sometimes changes drastically. The bright promise of heaven encourages our faith and deepens our love. Then faith and love work together to make the present even more enjoyable and the future more exciting. Fourthly, hope motivates. Divisions and dissensions among some Christians are tragic. The Bible does not condone compromise, but there should be much more love and understanding among God's people than there sometimes is. In fact, it seems like the worse things get in the world, the more friction there is among some of God's people. The fact that we are going to be together in heaven ought to encourage us to love each other on earth. This is one reason why Christ has already given us his glory within us. In John chapter 17, verse 22, we read, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them," referring to his disciples, "that they may be one, unified, even as we are one, Jesus and God the Father." The hope of seeing Christ and going to heaven is not only a motivation for faith and love, but it is also a motivation for holy living. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, we read this, 1 John 3:3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he," Christ, "is pure." And then we read in chapter 2, verse 28, "And now, little children," or young believers, "abide in him, that when he shall appear," or when Christ comes, "we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Someone has said, "Don't be caught doing anything that would embarrass you if Jesus Christ came at that instant." Now, fifthly, we see hope finalized. We should keep our lives clean so that when Jesus Christ does return, nothing will cloud our first meeting with him. We will enter into the joy and glory of his presence with confidence and love. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Peter 1, 11. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Or, "There shall be a rich welcome." The hope of heaven is also an encouragement in times of suffering. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 to 9, we read this, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season or for a while if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." As believers, we have our share of suffering, but in the midst of trials, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When Christians suffer, their faith can become stronger and their love can deepen because their hope shines brighter. And then Sixth, we want to think on hope promised. How do we know that we have this hope? Note where the promise is given, going back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before, now notice, in the word of the truth of the gospel, in the word of the truth of the gospel, believers do not have to work up a good feeling of hope. God's unchanging word, the word of God, assures us that our hope is secure in Christ. In fact, this hope is compared to an anchor that we can never break or drift from. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the veil. Now, in conclusion, no wonder Paul was thankful for the believers in Colossae. God had given Paul special miracles at Ephesus, but no miracle is greater than the salvation of the lost sinner. And through the faithful witness of Epaphras, God had performed miracles of grace in Colossae. And so, have you experienced the miracle of salvation in your own life like these believers in Colossae had? If you have, then keep growing and being fruitful for the Lord. The same word that gave you life when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior will continue to nourish that life and make you a faithful, fruitful Christian. And as you grow in the Lord, it is the Word of God and applying it to our life that causes us to grow more and more and more in the Word of in the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had in the Word of God. And Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. We thank you that when we are a Christian, a believer in Christ, no matter what happens here on earth, no matter what comes into our life, we know that when we leave this life, we're going home to heaven. That's the hope that we have. And I pray, Father, that we might always rejoice in the wonderful, great hope that we have in Christ, that we're going to be with him one day in glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.